hello, welcome back. It is me again, your host, Sky. And as per usual, I am not consistent and I am not on every week. But last week, I actually was going to record, but I got viciously sick. I thought I had COVID, but I did not. Or I just didn't test for COVID. I was down. I was girl down. And like I said, I was taking some time off because I was going through this huge transition in my job, which ended up being total bullshit. And I passed up a great opportunity because my job wanted me to stick with them. And then they aren't even paying me what I was making in the role that I was in last week. So yeah, that feels good. My life is going to shit. I hate my fucking job. I hate the people that I work with. They're all white supremacy, Trump supporting little cocksuckers. I hate them, and I'm in a miserable state right now. And I thought I'd just be open and honest with you guys, and that's part of the reason why I was in here too. I was fucking sad. I was depressed. And I just didn't want to complain about it for 45 minutes because I feel like I complain about it every week, and I can honestly complain about it till, you know, my day's end. But anyways, welcome back to Call Me Centennial, and this week we are not going to talk about capitalism, and we are not going to talk about how much we hate our lives for the rest of the episode anyway, because we self-deprecate way enough in our heads that we don't need to hear it on a podcast. So instead, this week we are going to talk about friendships, frenemies, friend breakups, and other things that make you depressed. And then I'm going to go on my spiel at the end about the music that I want you to listen to, everything this episode and all the episodes that I can pull out my ass in February are all going to be Black history inspired, and it's only going to be Black artists, and because they deserve recognition. And welcome back to Call Me Centennial. Recently, I became friends with an old friend again, or I guess reconnected with an old friend. And actually, before rekindling our friendship, I was constantly thinking about her. As I've said in all five podcasts, I have been undergoing some major changes in my life. I'm really experiencing the shift from being a teenager or young adulthood into, you know, adulthood. And those major changes, you know, major events that have gone on, I always had the back of my head like, oh, if this friend were here, I wonder how things would be different. And so that being said, when we became friends again, I was really, really happy and excited, but then part of me was also very scared because her and I had seemed to always be friends and then not friends and then friends. And it's always been one of those relationships in my life where we fall in and out of friendship and, you know, like in and out of being together, attached at the hip, and then not liking each other. And so it just brought up some old feelings that I had of all the times that we had our falling outs or our breakups. And I know that sounds like a little, like, so ridiculous, but I really had to, like, evaluate with myself and check in with myself to see if I was, like, mentally in a place for this friendship. I don't think I'm ever mentally in the place to do anything, but having her as a friend so far has been really beneficial to me. But when I did rekindle that friendship, I had to really evaluate, like, can I handle this, or can I, you know, handle if we decide not to, we end up not being friends again? Can I emotionally handle it when something goes wrong? And I think now, even though I don't feel strong, and I literally just talked about my depression right before this episode started. I feel like I'm in a better place mentally to be able to really have friends, because I just have reached a level of not giving a fuck and not holding anything back or holding anything in, that even though I do have my extreme lows and my extreme highs and my mental ebbs and flows and my depression, I am in a different place in my life where I can talk about it and I can share those feelings, whether it's here on this podcast or, you know, with people that I have relationships with. I am such an open book now that even though I do get sad and get to all those places, I'm strong enough and mindful enough to acknowledge them and therefore, you know, express how I'm feeling. Whereas when I was a teenager and I felt terrible about myself, about why can't I keep a friend or things in that nature, I would just keep it in and then just be rude or be mean and just be sad. Whereas now I just let it out and I'm like, look, I'm going to be a bitch, but this is why I'm being a bitch. But anywho, I digress. My favorite word, I digress. So I had to have that little mental check-in with myself when I decided to be her friend again. And, we're getting along great. I have a lot of things in the work with her that I'm excited to share with you guys one day when that time comes. But I just, like, her coming into my life again really brought back up some feelings, and I just wanted to talk about it, because is it just me, or when you have a breakup with a friend, it just hurts and is so much more painful than, like, a romantic breakup? I remember when her and I stopped being friends the first time, I literally listened to sad music for a week, and I felt like there had been a death in my life, and it was like the death of our friendship, and I really thought that I was never going to be friends with this person again, and that would make me sad. Things would make me sad. Things would remind me of her, and I would just be sad. Or I would hear about her through the grapevine, or, like, because, you know, we live in a small town and everyone knows everyone. So if I heard about her, you know, like, here and there, or just heard her name, I would just be so sad. And so I really wanted to, like, take a deep dive into why it is that, at least personally for me, friendship breakups affect me way more than a romantic breakup would. And I jotted down a couple of things. I don't know if I'm the only person that does this, but I hold my friendships to a higher standard than my romantic relationship. And I think there's a key couple differences. So when we seek out romantic partners, there's a couple of things that attract us to the people that we're attracted to. So obviously the first one's going to be physical attractiveness. It's going to be proximity. So if they're in your town, if it's convenient to see them, obviously that's going to attract you to a partner. How similar you guys are, and then how often they reciprocate, or if you have common interests. Reciprocation, similarities, and common interests is a big thing that attracts me to romantic partners. But that's also a big thing that attracts me to friendships. And really, friendships are based upon two things from I've learned from my research. When you are friends with someone, you have a mutual admiration and respect for one another. And I think that's so important, because all the things that I talked about in a romantic relationship, like, those are all surface level reasons to be with someone or to, you know, like, spend time with someone. But the respect and admiration that those are not surface levels. Like, when you are friends with someone and you guys have reached that respect and that mutual respect and admiration, that is so much deeper than the reasons why you are attracted to a romantic partner. And so I feel like we hold in our heads our friendships to a higher standard because they are not physical things. Like, if something doesn't work out with a romantic partner, I'm just like, oh, well, maybe he didn't think I'm pretty enough, or maybe he thought I was fat, or maybe we just didn't have that spark. Like, there's so many other factors that go into being with someone romantically and then being with someone, like, just having them as a friend. Like, that is so much deeper. Like, when you break up with, or at least when I have broken up with friends, or, like, decided not to be friends with someone, or if someone didn't want to be friends with me anymore, I just think, oh, well, there's something wrong with me. Like, there's something wrong with my personality. I'm not funny enough. I'm not serving this person enough, or this person doesn't like me. And it's a different kind of ego throat punch or gut punch to your ego, because if someone doesn't want to be your friend anymore, there's only two reasons. They don't like you, or I guess a couple of reasons, but the basics is that they don't like you, they don't respect you anymore, and they just don't want to be around you anymore. And that hurts. That hurts more than romantic relationships, because, like I said, there's so many other factors as to why your romantic relationship doesn't work out. And when you lose a friend, there's only a handful of things why it doesn't work out. And I think overall, there's so much more that comes with losing a friendship. So if you aren't friends with one person, you're probably going to not be friends with multiple people. So there's a thing called, this lovely thing called, social rejection. And so social rejection, you know what, let me look it up to get the exact definition before I spit off facts that I know nothing about. So social rejection occurs when an individual is deliberately excluded from a social relationship or social interaction. And so I equate that to, you know, when you were friends, let's say if you're friends with Katie and you and Katie hang out, but you're also friends with Jennifer, and you introduce Katie to Jennifer so that you, Katie, and Jennifer can all hang out. Well, now if you're not friends with Katie anymore, does that mean Jennifer can't be friends with Katie? Or does that mean that you can't be friends with whoever Jennifer either introduced you to? Or, you know, it just becomes a clusterfuck of, like, okay, so, like, what do we do now with mutual friends? Are you going to be upset if your mutual friend now hangs out with that friend that you're no longer friends with? You see, it's just a big clusterfuck. And so let's just say you lose all your friends. Well, now you are not only rejected by that one friend, but now you're rejected by the other friend just from, or because of these stupid fucking social boxes that we have put around ourselves for no fucking reason, and are just rejecting people or entire groups of people for no fucking reason. And I'm going off topic, and let me get back on topic. But anyways, you see where I'm going with this, and I don't have to elaborate more. But what I'm trying to get at is that can, within itself. So let's say now you're experiencing social rejection, and the pain of social rejection can cause increased anxiety, increased sadness, and increased anger on top of the anxiety, sadness, and anger you're already experiencing in your everyday life, the anxiety, sadness, and anger you're experiencing in your friendship breakup, and now you're experiencing that and your social rejection, and you can just see where this downward downward spiral is taking you. And I also want to get into like, okay, so I, at least for me, and I asked around too, was just like, what's the hardest part of a friendship breakup? And a lot of people said that it was just the blindsidedness of it, just the not seeing coming part of it. And I think that was such a good point, because for me anyways, that's exactly what really hurts the most. I think the blindsidedness of losing a friend is the worst aspect of it, because it's so sudden. Like, if we could predict the future, I'm pretty sure a lot of us would predict the future with half the people that are in our lives now. And so when you all of a sudden rip that person from your future predictions, or where you see yourself, or where you see yourself in certain experiences and experience and talking about those experiences with someone else and assuming that person's going to be there throughout those experiences, I think that really fucks with you mentally when you really think about, like, wow, I thought this person was going to be my friend until I thought this person was going to be my friend until we were old and moldy. And now this person hates me and is not going to be in my life. So then who is going to be in my life when I'm old? Like, who, they're not going to be there when I have like the first time experiences. And like, I think that's what fucks you up mentally. Like, you know, with romantic relationships too, you can kind of tell like, okay, this isn't, you know, going well. We're probably not gonna advance. We're in a standstill in our relationship. This is probably not the person I'm gonna be with forever. So, and with friendship, it's like you're gonna lose this companion over what? Like, what's the overall reason? Am I losing this companion because I'm not funny enough? I'm not serving this person enough. I'm not good enough for this person. This person doesn't like the person who I am anymore inside, because, you know, romantic relationships can be outwardly, you know, you can be attracted to someone's, you know, like prettiness and what they can do for you physically, you know, mentally. But with friendship, it's all like mental stimulation. So it's just like, it fucks with you way differently than a romantic relationship. And like, how do you get over that? You know, like, how do you like move on from a friendship breakup? Like, this person doesn't want to be my friend anymore because he or she just doesn't like me. Just doesn't fucking like me. And that's tough. That's tough. Unless you're like the one that is ending the friendship. Like I recently, oh my God, I have to throw in a little story time in here because I am so pissed about this. So me and my on and off again friend, we both hung out with someone in common. I'm just going to call him Nick because Nick is his real fucking name. Nick, you know who you are. Fuck you, Nick. He moved out of state and, so he comes in town from time to time, and every single time he comes in town, he wasn't telling me he's in town. I should have got the fucking hint then that he doesn't really care to be our friend, but whatever. So I was like, you have to tell me next time you're in town. I want us to all hang out. Like, tell me when you're in town. And he's like, okay, I will. And I never actually thought that he would tell me, because you can kind of just tell when like someone is like an acquaintance or like they're your friends. It's different parts of your life, but they're not really meant to be your friends for forever. And then there's like frenemies and things of that nature, which I'm going to get into later. But like, so he's one of those friends that is our friend strictly off of situational. Like if we're doing something and he's there for all like the party moments, he's that drug dealer friend that we all have that drug dealer friend that they're huge into trapping, and they're your party drug friend that you invite to your parties and just just your drug friend. And he was our drug friend. And so he was in town and he actually said, like, hey, I'm in town, let's go get drinks, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, ugh, I don't want to go, I don't want to go, I don't want to go. But my rekindled friendship, she was like, let's go. I was sad. She was just like, let's go. We could use free drinks and you need to go out. You need to have fun. And I'm like, okay, fine. I'm down in the dumps. Something happened to me where I couldn't like get out of a funk. I've just been in a funk ever since then. I just feel like recently with my soul-crushing depression, I've just been always in a funk and it's always like riding my coattails. I digress. But so I went and we where he wanted to hang out was where we are all from, I guess you would say. And we've all like kind of moved to the next town over because where we are from, there's like a toll. Long story short, there's a toll between there are two towns next to each other. We moved to the town where everyone gets a fucking job and so we don't have to pay the toll and the bridge every day. We're fucking adults and we moved out of our little bedroom town. But obviously he's not living in the area anymore. So he wanted to go get drinks somewhere in our town where we're all from. And so we were annoyed that we had to pay the toll. And I said that, like, okay, we'll meet at this time. And then I told him that we were going to be late. So he was just like, no worries, just let me know when you're on your way. So we're on our way. I'm Snapchatting him. I don't even have this kid's, I didn't even text him. I had his number. Like, I had his Snapchat. I didn't have his number. So I'm like Snapchatting him and he's not answering. We get over the bridge. We're in our fucking little bedroom town and he just never Snapchatted me back. And I was so pissed. Like, we literally walked around the downtown area of our fucking small little town that we were from and he was nowhere to be found. He literally was just like, I'm getting drunk with my mom. And then I was just like, okay, we're on your way. Let us know where we can meet you. First of all, he told us to meet him at this bar that literally wasn't even a bar anymore. I think it shut down. It like closed down like indefinitely. So we're like, where the fuck is this bar? And then I look into it. We look for it on the map and it literally says like shut down indefinitely. So he told us to go to this fucking bullshit bar in this bullshit bedroom town. Didn't answer and still to this day has yet to say like, hey, sorry, I blew you off, or hey, I fell asleep, or nothing. He just totally blew us off. We paid the toll and everything. And then it'll be a great night because we got to talking. We went for sushi instead. I'm so mad at you. But Nick, if you're out there and you, for some fucking stroke of luck, listen to this, fuck you, dude. Fuck you. We deserve an apology. How dare you make us pay this toll? We even went to where I tried to remember. Last time I saw him, I was on drugs. I was straight up on drugs. I don't remember where this kid lives, but I was at his house several times, and I could not remember where it was. We went around the area where we knew it was, hoping that we would just happen to see them or happen to see him. We went driving around for hours looking for you, fool. Fuck you, dude. But anyways, I digress. Where was I going? I need to listen to my recording real quick just to find out where the fuck I am. But yeah, Nick, by the way, fuck you. So I listened back to my recording and it was like me ending the friendship. But yeah, that was a perfect example of how I ended that friendship because that person fucking sucked. But yeah. But anyways, I want to get into how we can cope with these losses. Anyways, or just ways that I cope with these losses. And if you get anything out of this, you know, I'm happy. And I just want to share with the world what I do to get over things. And I hope it helps you all. So for me, I find it especially helpful to find my own sense of closure in a sense that I make peace with it in my head. if that makes sense. Does that make sense? Whatever. It makes sense for me. And what I mean by that is, like, I'll usually, like, if I can't say this to the person, I will just find closure in within my head. So I'll write down, like, how it made me feel, what the breakup made me feel, what that person could have done better, what I could have done better, why I feel like this relationship is hurting me so much. And I'll just, like, keep that for myself, or I'll actually send that to them. It depends on, like, how the friendship ended. But just, like, getting that out, getting your feelings out, is so therapeutic. And it's really helpful. The second thing I do is I always give myself something to look forward to. And this is kind of plays into the purpose episode, where, you know, give yourself something to look forward to, because if you're focusing your intention on something that excites you rather than something that makes you feel down, it really, really helps you and your mental. Like, right now, I feel like I'm constantly in a funk because I have nothing to look forward to. I actually have something to look forward to, and I'm really excited about it, but I just haven't been focusing on it. And that's where I go wrong, is, like, I have not been focusing on the things that excite me. Rather than, I'm just been focusing on the things that overwhelm me and bring me down. And I'm not even following my own rules this week. So I'm going to start doing that. But yeah, give yourself something that excites you every day, whether that's a food that you're going to eat, a trip you're going to go on, a movie you're going to go see. Go to the fucking movies by yourself. Maybe right now, because we're in a pandemic or whatever. But I used to love going to a movie theater by myself. There's something about, like, going whenever you want to go, not missing the previews, not waiting on anybody, that, love it. I think the second thing is to meet new people, but not, like, pressure yourself to meet new people. Like, just be excited that, okay, so now less of your time is being consumed by this other person. And now you have more time to open yourself up to new relationships and, you know, like, new beginnings. And that can really be helpful. And the last thing I will say is to don't stalk them on social media. I always fall into a deep hole sometimes where I'm stalking exes, or I'm stalking ex-best friends on my social media. Mostly it's the ex-friends, because I don't really have any exes. But yeah, having that, you know what I mean? Like, turn off their notifications. If you don't want to be that shady person that unfollows them, just turn off the notifications so that, or turn it off so that you can't see them on your feed. That is really, really helpful. Or just unfollow them, or not have them as your friend anymore, and just say, like, hey, I'm going to unfollow you simply because I just don't want to be tempted to look into your stuff. I don't want to be tempted as to being your friend. And you don't even need to say that. You don't owe anyone a motherfucking explanation. And the last thing is just to have a friend, or have a plan in what you're going to do with your mutual friends. Like I said, social rejection is a huge thing. So just, you know, reach out to anyone you have a common with. Just be like, hey, so and so and I are not friends anymore. Hope that we can still be friends. Still like you a lot. And I hope this doesn't change the way you think about me or the way you think about them. Totally cool if you still want to be their friend. No bad blood, blah, blah, blah. Wrap it up. Do you want to hang out this Friday? Something like that. Something sweet, simple. And then just try to focus on what you learn. So in all of my relationships and friendships, I've always, like, felt something that I've gained. Like, oh, I learned a lot about myself with this person. Or I learned a lot about myself in this relationship. Or I learned, you know, what I want in a friendship or what I don't want in a friendship, and those things can help a lot. And yeah, so friendships, frenemies, and I was gonna go into a whole skit about frenemies, but I'm just gonna make that a whole separate episode because I have had a lot of frenemies in my lifetime, and I can go on and on and on and on about frenemies. So, but I will in a whole other episode because there's a lot to unpack in frenemy relationships because they are so fucking exhausting. But I want to give appreciation to Black History Month by shouting out some Black artists, some Black music, and some Black, you know, artwork. I really want to showcase all the Black artists I appreciate. So I want to start with my main girl, Willow. Love her. Her album with the Anxiety is, I said it last week, I'm a motherfucking say it again, it's the one of the wokest albums that I've ever listened to. So anything by Willow, especially her new stuff, fucking listen to it. Tyler, the Creator. I fucking love Tyler, the Creator. You know me. Willow's brother, Jaden. A lot of his stuff is really good. My favorite song by him right now is called 90. So listen to that. St. John. Love him. SZA. That's my girl. Thundercat. I don't think I have talked about Thundercat, but also a big love of mine. Meg Thee Stallion. She's... Meg Thee Stallion is doing some really hot girl shit, some real hot girl shit on her IG right now. So go check that out. What's another a Black artist that I want to shout out? I'm trying to stay away from like basic artists or, you know, artists that are well known, kind of like Frank Ocean and stuff like that. Like, we all know those artists. They're great. I'm trying to shed some light on maybe some artists that, some Black artists that you don't know. Let me see. Oh, Abra, love her. Listen to Pull Up by Abra, life-changing song. I also want to shout out the song Stop Calling the Police on Me and I Feel Fantastic. Great songs. And all, like I said, all these songs can always be found on my Centennial Sisters playlist, so please give that a follow. I really put a lot of fucking work into that playlist and only wanted the best of the best on that playlist. And now on to Black shows. I think the best one is Dear White People. I think that's the most important one. And that, yeah. And also follow this Call Me Centennial Instagram. We do a lot of shout outs on there. We put a lot of information on there, everything tailored to the episode. So during my homeless episode, we did, you know, like we put links to people who have experienced homelessness, like everything. I try to tie all my episodes to a lesson in mental health and, you know, uncomfortable topics that can affect our mental health. And so what we like to do on the Instagram platform is we like to inform people and give people resources and links that I can't necessarily put on here. So please give that a follow. Listen to Call Me Centennial Podcast, the playlist. And I will see you guys on the flip. And I am sorry I can't be more consistent. I just get, you know, really low. And it's hard for me to be consistent when I'm feeling low. I'm feeling lethargic lately. I've just been not feeling myself. I think my job and the feeling that I don't feel appreciated in my 9-to-5, because that is where we spend most of our lives, is at this 9-to-5. And when that is not making you completely happy, it really affects the small time or the small amount of time you get off from that 9-to-5. So
I appreciate you all sticking with me and bearing with me through this tough transition, and I hope this episode somewhat helped you a little bit. Sorry it was a little all over the place. I had anxiety all weekend about not preparing well enough for it, and then I have anxiety about putting my work out, and I'm a mess. But I hope you guys join me next week, and I all hope you're staying safe out there, and I appreciate each and every one of you guys, and hopefully you will hear from me again next Tuesday. No promises, but like I said, I still am trying to get that blog off the ground for you guys, and I appreciate you all listening. I love you so much. Stay safe, stay healthy, fuck that guy. And I will see you guys next time on Call Me Centennial.